Welcome back, race fans. We're coming to you right after the MotoGP round at Mugello. And man, what a weekend it was. This was a definitely a race for the books. And some really interesting things happened. Did not see the results out of some people and saw some other folks really pull something out for the first time. So let's go ahead and get straight into it. Josh, what did you see in leading up to the race and like free practice and qualifying?
Yeah, so to me it was, I mean, the race turned out to be an instant classic. A lot of the story of coming into Mugello, the Ducati team, obviously Valentino Rossi being his home race, Ducati winning the last 3 years here consecutively, seeing what they can do on this weekend. We had some illness, some flu, maybe just a severe cold going around the paddock. And they were joking about, you know, Marquez and Petrucci being under the weather early on. And when Quartararo took pole right in between those two, I remember them joking about how, you know, maybe they, you know, get him like a little mask or something to make sure he doesn't get sick for the race. But yeah, you know, none needed because, I mean, Ducati look great. Honda even better, right? Maybe we can touch on that before we get into the race. But the Honda power seems to be there, right? On this track, which is so dominant with that super long straight coming out of the last over the hill into the first corner. I mean, we all expected Ducati to perform very well. But I think we got a surprise from Honda and an unfortunate surprise from Yamaha where they just didn't have the power this week. So, I mean, if you want to comment, Taylor, on the Hondas and the Yamahas and how they're working to keep up with the Ducati pace.
Yeah. You know, I obviously don't know technically exactly what they've been doing, but, you know, Honda traditionally has not had that, that power that, you know, they've just kind of been a chassis bike. Yeah, clearly with, you know, obviously Marquez, he's kind of an outlier, but, you know, he was able to slipstream the Ducatis, which is definitely different than how it's been in the past. And then we saw Nakagami, Crutchlow, you know, and they're both on essentially satellite bikes, not quite HRC bikes. But yeah, they didn't seem to have any power issues. So that's good to see. Yamaha, there's all this talk that they're just completely down on power, down on top speed. And so I think it's really interesting that Quartararo was able to set his lap times in qualifying, you know, minus that top speed. I mean, it shows that, you know, the bike is good, obviously, in corner speed and probably corner entry. But so that's, you know, always love to see a rookie really kill it his first year out, and especially on a bike that kind of people are writing off this year. So, yeah, happy to see. Yeah, especially. So let's talk about qualifying.
Quartararo had that fastest lap, the 145.7. That was in the books for almost the entire Q2 session.
Right.
Marquez picked up a toe towards the end of the session and snuck his way back in, as he always does, being strategically placed on the track at the right time, doing the right things, getting himself on the first position on the front row, right? No surprise. But, yeah, Quartararo is – he's super fast. Like, he has proven himself time and again. He could have had his second pole position for the season, but, I mean, come race day, it's a little different story. But, I mean, if you want to stick with qualifying, Marquez, Quartararo, Petrucci in the front row – Morbidelli, who I would argue has been the more consistent teammate of Quartararo, even though Quartararo is absolutely, you know, there's no argument there. He's fast. He's super fast.
No doubt.
But when it comes to race day, it's in results and finishing. Morbidelli's been more consistent, but that team as a whole has done very well this year.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a variety of reasons. Everything from just, you know, mechanical failure of the bike, which has happened to him, you know, early on in the season, we saw multiple mistakes made and having to start from pit lane and different things like that. So, you know, but he's proving that he has you know, the basis, which is like, hey, can I keep up with these guys? And now he's going to learn the racecraft. He's learning, you know, that it's a lot of pieces have to come together, you know, to make that win. So he'll get there. And I think he really is the future of the sport. I think that the Petronas team should only get better. Eventually they'll get that Yamaha figured out. Again, we're not really exactly privy to exactly why Yamaha is struggling. We keep hearing about electronics and they're not able to put the power down. But you know, all the factory guys seem to struggle. So
yeah, even Vinales and of course Rossi who DNF'd this race. I mean, unfortunate at his home Grand Prix, but yeah, Maverick was pretty quick, you know, not crazy fast, but he was P7 at the end of Q2. So he had a great start. If you want to get into the race, we can talk about, you know, different positions. So to touch on qualifying, there were a lot of big names that missed out on Q1. They couldn't get it together through FP1, 2, and 3. They didn't set the fastest lap time. So we're looking at, you know, Dovizioso, Rossi missing out on Q2. Alex Rins missed out on Q2. So,
yeah, Lorenzo, which, you know, he hasn't really been there, but
yeah, I mean, he's a big name. And
I mean, he won last year on the Ducati.
On a Ducati, not on a Honda, but yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. We don't want to discount Lorenzo at all, but I think my expectations at least were pretty low for him this weekend. And I didn't really have his name in my mind as being in the conversation for the podium at all, you know, or even the top 10, and we'll see where he finished pretty soon. But
right. Yeah. Not really sure what was going on. And then obviously in FP3, mm-hmm. kind of the reason why, like, you know, especially Rossi missed out and Mir, was that they both got the timing wrong. They should have had one last flying lap.
Yep.
And at least Rossi missed it by, I mean, just a couple seconds, which, right. You know, that's, to me, that's kind of a team, that's kind of a management thing. You know, he took
a long, his second lap going out, or his out lap was, they were saying, like, you know, 12, 17 seconds or whatever. And he did run wide, he hit a mistake, but it wasn't anything that he couldn't overcome as far as time management and being on the bike and making sure that he had that one last effort, because he was quick through sector one initially on that last lap before they told him, hey, checker flag's out. Like, it's not going to count. So,
right. Pull back. Yep. So, yeah, Q1, we saw both Ducatis move through. Michel Pirro, you know, the Ducati test rider, he was the wild card this weekend for them. And was, I mean, setting really killer pace. I mean, obviously, he knows this track very well. That's why they bring him out for this race, is because he can run interference. He can, you know, possibly fight for a win depending on, you know, how it goes. And so it's, you know, team points and stuff. So, yeah, I was hoping, to see an all factory Ducati podium, which would have been pretty neat. But
yeah, that would have been exciting. But who would have been there? I mean, Miller maybe, or yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, obviously, Pirro didn't really have that pace in the race.
No, not at all.
But, yeah, so good day for Ducati, though.
So qualifying's in the books, right? We're here. Let's look at your top 10 real quick. Marquez, Quartararo, Petrucci, front row. Morbidelli, Miller, Crutchlow, second row. Shout out to Cal. Cal did a great job during this race, unfortunately, towards the end. We'll talk about that, but, man, did he do well. Vinales, Bagnaia, Dovizioso, third row. Nakagami, Espargaro, Pirro, and here's a name, Rins, Rabat, and Espargaro, sitting way back. Rins in 13th place. I feel like after the start of this race, qualifying didn't even matter, because we have Davi way back in 9th. We got Rins way back in 13th. Marquez is smiling ear to ear because he knows that the two guys in the championship against him, the highest in the points, are sitting 9 and 13. He's sitting P1. The race starts, and by the third corner, we're looking at Davi chasing everybody down, and Alex Rins is right there in the conversation in fifth or sixth place. Like, it basically erased the entire preview and the lead into the race on the first couple corners. And what a start to this race that we had.
Yeah, that was it was really that classic, you know. I think at times people even said, resembled Moto 3, which, I mean, the closer to Moto 3 you can get racing in general, the better. Which, shout out to Moto 3 this race too. That was a great one as well. But, to me, the standout, obviously Petrucci. I mean, this guy has been working for this moment for so long. You know, his last race win, I think they said, came in Superbike. I mean, so, you know, however long ago that was, I mean, this guy is was about to give up on MotoGP, was going to just kind of let it go. But, yeah, got a chance from Ducati and has really proven himself.
Yeah, so, his last win was with the Superstock 1000 Cup in an Italian racing series, FIM Superstock 1000. Yeah. So he's been in MotoGP since 2012 with the Iota Racing team, and then signed with the Pramac team at Ducati in 2015 and got promoted this year for his first time with the Ducati factory team. And up until that point, he's had no wins. So essentially, he's been in the top class since 2012, and this is his first win.
Yeah.
Seven years in MotoGP, which is insane.
Yeah. Can't even imagine that feeling of just, you know, what all of the struggle, you know? And so to see him victorious was perfect. It was really great. And I think that this is going to give him that confidence going forward, that he's going to be able to fight again for a win. You know, I think, was it last year, Lorenzo won this race. He went on to win the race after in Catalonia, and
yeah, that and the year prior as well. So each winner of the Mugello Grand Prix has won in Catalonia the year prior. So
right,
we're looking at Petrucci coming off in Le Mans last weekend, or last race weekend, third place podium for him. And he's been so far this season 6-6-6-5-3-1. So that's his standing so far this year. He's only getting better, and yeah, if he's on form and he's comfortable, then yeah, I mean, I don't know, this might be a really good season for Petrucci, and I wish all the best for him going forward. But super happy to see him win today on a Ducati in Italy, his first MotoGP win. Like, the tears were flowing, like you can't help but feel for him, like at the end of the race, you know.
Nice. Yeah, just, and he's a normal guy. I mean, this guy was a police officer at one point, you know. Just, you know, can you imagine coming from that to just now you're winning, you know, in Mugello on the top class? Yeah, it's pretty special.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But the race was amazing. I mean, let's talk about the first lap. They came out. Marquez was leading for a few laps, and we're all like, okay, you know, that's standard issue, right? Marquez leading the race. Great. Let's see him pull away and build that gap that he usually does, that 1-2-3 second gap within, you know, 6-7 laps. And that didn't happen at all. Davi and Petrucci and Crutchlow at the time were taking the fight to him, and they were absolutely right there. They were hanging in tight, and Marquez could not pull away. And at that point, I was like, uh-oh, we got a race here. Mark's not taking off. These guys are fighting. That straight was massive for Ducati and anybody that could hang out in the slipstream of any other bike. It's a total X factor at Mugello, and it makes it a very unique track. Just a unique surface to ride on. So, what'd you see early on? You know, Jack Miller making his way up, even Bagnaia having a couple good passes, you know, early on in the race. So it was a total wild card initially going on.
I mean, for most of the race, there was a group of, you know, about nine or so. Everyone went back to basically Quartararo, who were within a second and a half of each other. And obviously the folks at the front, probably the front six, mixing it up, you know, at the end of the straight, you know, through those slipstreams. So, yeah, saw Miller. Obviously, he was pushing hard, and clearly pushed a little bit too hard. I was kind of reading that he was spending a lot more time on the edge of the tire, which, and Miller is kind of, I feel like he's kind of famous for this, is kind of overriding the bike, overriding the front tire, and, you know, end up biting him in the end. But, you know, he clearly had, you know, the pace to run at the front. I was hoping to see him finish. I think that's kind of the thing for him, is that he just pushes a little too hard and obviously doesn't finish a lot of time. Who else did we see? Yeah, you know, Rins too. I mean, gotta give out a shout out to Rins. I mean,
13th all the way up. Like, he was towards the end of the race, the top four group, that Marquez, Davi, Petrucci, Rins group, was like, man, this is anyone's race right now with 7 laps to go. Like, it could have ended, you know,
yeah,
anywhere and everywhere, but he was right there with them. Basically, early on, he led the race. Like, we had, I think, 4 different leaders. We had Marquez leading initially, then Petrucci, Davi, and Rins led the race at one point. So we had 4 different race leaders. I don't know, probably hundreds of overtakes if you count the entire field this weekend. Like, it was an amazing race. Instant classic, like I said before.
Yeah. And I think the only reason why Rins really couldn't fight at the end was just that bike was missing top speed. And he couldn't really make up any sort of time in that slipstream. But yeah. And, you know, I think that'll come. Like, Suzuki will figure that out. But, you know, I didn't really hear a lot of people talk about, or I didn't really see a lot of, like, tire management issues either. It seems like everyone kind of had, like, the tires were fine.
Yeah, everyone took a medium rear. Zarco was the only one that took a soft rear, and it didn't pan out for him in the end. But even Rins, I mean, at the end of the race, you know, when the checker flag was waved, he was 0.535 seconds behind. He was only a half second behind
the
leader. So it was close to the end. Even Marquez was slipstreaming Petrucci into that final straight, like trying to get anything he could, but he couldn't get it out of him. But
yeah. And then what else? Rossi. I mean, obviously got to talk about Rossi. I don't know what's going on. Obviously, you know, there's this conversation of is he past his prime, and you know, there's still flashes of brilliance in there. Obviously, what we saw in Austin, Texas, he was, him and Rins were fighting right there for the win. He easily could have got a win there, and then whatever. But this weekend, yeah, miserable for Yamaha, really, but miserable for Rossi. And so it's got to be tough, you know, seeing like a satellite bike that clearly outpaced you, you know, with Quartararo and stuff. And obviously Vinales is outpacing him. And then just to kind of, yeah, what? I mean, at some point he ran into the back of Mir. Seemed like he was having brake issues or something. And then kind of recovered from that, was running around near the back. And coming into turn 9 or 11, just lost the front on his own. You know, so not really sure what's up with that. But last year he set the qualifying, like a new qualifying record. I mean, so
yeah, he had the all-time lap record going into this weekend,
right?
And then Danilo had it for a few hours in FP3 before it was broken by Quartararo, and then again broken by Marquez in the slipstream during qualifying. So
right. So I mean, I always go back to, so much of this sport is about momentum and confidence, you know, and it's a huge mental thing. And so with all of the struggle that Yamaha has had and he's had, I mean, it doesn't take much to kind of knock off that edge, and then you're gonna, yeah, you can't operate at that level without that confidence. So we'll see, you know. I think this year is going to be probably kind of seal the deal for him. I can see him really ready to move on and focus on his VR46 squad. Start really doing that mentoring thing and running those, you know, running those teams that he's got.
Yeah, no one's going to be mad about it. Like,
of course not.
He's done his thing for so long. I mean, the guy's 40 years old. He's out there competing with the young guns. Yeah. And he's still performing. I mean, this is a guy who's had multiple podiums this year. Like, Rossi is not at all a scrub. He just had a bad weekend, and that's okay. that happens.
Right. The first guy that comes to mind who quits in his prime, Casey Stoner, everybody always wonders like, wow, like what else could he have done? You know? And so it's pretty normal to run it, you know, run the course until it's clear that, yeah, it's passed, you know? So, and nobody's ever done it like Rossi. So
somehow inside, I feel like we're talking about Rossi like he's a forgotten soul, and then he'll just like podium.
Well, of course,
Barcelona. Like it's not he's done. To me, it's a bad race weekend. Like he's still there. I think if he commits to a season, he's committed to a season. We're only, you know, six races in, so there's a long road ahead. But
yeah, and he came into this weekend what, third championship,
right?
It's like, yeah, no, it's no doubt.
Yeah, the points are weird to me because Alex Rins, some would say, wouldn't really be in the conversation without Marc Márquez falling out in Coda. I mean, he fell apart on his own behalf. He was 3 seconds ahead and lost the front and lost it. So Rossi was in the lead at that point. Rins fought Rossi for the lead and won the race. Rins fought Rossi for the lead and won the race. So now Rins is here. He's in the conversation. And he's actually been pretty darn consistent up to that point. Like, he's riding very well. The fact that he climbed from 13th to first today at one point during the race and then end up finishing in fourth. I mean, Rins is there, but I don't think he would be in that conversation for the standings for the championship points without that Coda fall off from Márquez. Obviously, we'd have a whole different championship this year, but, you know, mistakes happen, and that's the way it works. But yeah, Davi Petrucci, how do you feel about the Ducati team? You know, should Petrucci maybe have let Davi win this, you know, with a couple laps to go? They were talking about teammates, this and that and the other. He's the only one that can take the fight to Márquez. Is Márquez just going to win again? And we're looking at Davi as a runner-up for the third year in a row. Like, what's going on in the championship? You know, how do you feel about that?
Well, number one, I'm not a huge fan of team stuff, team orders and whatever. You know, do it for the points. Absolutely not. Petrucci earned this because if anybody operates not 100% of like trying to win themselves, then like what are we really doing here? You know, yeah, sure, there's team, but it should still be an individual effort. I think if Davi could have won, he would have won. And in this round, he didn't. So, I think, and I really don't even think that it's necessarily like Dovizioso is Ducati's best chance, to get a championship. Like I think Petrucci could be there. I think with Petrucci's kind of big thing is that he just has kind of gone winless, and I think that this is going to be like a big turning point for him. I think we're going to kind of see probably a lot more of this out of him. I think that seat is safe. I think he's going to get re-signed. Ducati is going to keep him on. As far as what their answer is for Márquez, I mean, my God, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, what's anybody's answer to Márquez? Like, you could, yeah,
exactly.
You could put him on a pit bike and he'd be out there in 13th place, probably. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, but,
it's so true.
Yeah, but the Ducati GP19, I would say, I know you hate team sports, but as a team, as a factory, the GP19 might be the best bike on the track this season overall, as far as they don't have Marc Márquez on that bike.
Oh, there's no question.
But the Honda RC 213V, like, the Honda's a great bike, but you put Mark on that bike and it's 10 times better than it was before. The GP19, though, for Ducati, it's just a great piece of engineering, and that bike can perform and hang with the best of the best, you know.
Right. It doesn't really do anything bad. I mean, it seems like it's got everything, you know. It's just that Márquez isn't on it. and I think...
Not that he would want to be, though. I feel like he's perfectly comfortable in the Honda. And after the race today, he said we wanted to finish in front of Davi, wanted to finish in front of Rins, and that's what we did. So I'm happy for Danilo, and we'll go on to next week. And next week they're going to Barcelona. They're I guess, home race, if you will. But they run two races a year in Spain, two races a year in Italy. Of course, that appeases to most of the paddock and the grid. So you got...
They've got four races in Spain.
Four, do they? Sorry. Yeah. I was thinking Jerez in Barcelona. Obviously, Aragon. They got the Aragon in Misano, Aragon. Yep.
Yeah, Valencia as well.
Valencia. So how many... Yeah, I guess... Well, they can't keep churching it up as their home race when it's not their home race. Like, what's... We got to get a map out here and draw some lines and see what's up. But
I don't know. I mean, you know, like Misano is Rossi, like literally like a stone's throw from Rossi's literal hometown. But right. It seems like a lot of people just kind of claim Mugello as the home race. Obviously it's the Italian Grand Prix. So it is kind of like the number one race in Italy.
Yeah, because Misano is the San Marino GP, whatever. Yeah.
Right. Right. So... I don't know, you know, who knows, but
I guess yeah. Don't put too much stock into where the race is and who they're fighting for, I guess. But yeah, the fans were out there in force after the race today. I was watching, letting the stream run, and all the fans were piled up in front of the podium, all chanting for Valet, for him to come out and at least say hi. But I don't think he ever did, like after today's finish and the weekend he had in front of him. I didn't see him, at least. Maybe he did later on. But yeah, it's tough. It's super tough.
Yep. It'll be tough. And, you know, it's going to be a big shift for MotoGP once he stops racing. Going to be, they're going to, I'm not really sure they really know what's exactly going to happen as far as like viewership and stuff. And just, but the thing is that he could stop racing and there will still be Rossi fans like with wearing Rossi gear and, you know.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
and that'll continue for a long time. Just
the years after he's done, you'll see the yellow smoke grenades going off at the Mugello circuit. Even though they asked them not to do that, they're going to do it anyway. Yeah. So Honda though, but Taka Nakagami, fifth place in a LCR Honda. I mean, we expect to see maybe like Cal Crutchlow up there had he not, you know, like wrecked out. But
yeah,
what do you feel about Nakagami?
I mean, for sure, great race for him. I mean, I think this was one of his favorite tracks, from what he said. So, yeah, I mean, always great to see him finish well. I think that, yeah, it just shows that the Honda is a good bike, and you know, there. And I'm not really sure the validity of this, but from what I've been reading is that these are all 2019 bikes.
Yep.
They're just missing some RPM. They don't necessarily get all the upgrades at the same time. So, you know, they're essentially kind of all kind of running the top kit, you know.
How do we feel about Nakagami in the future? AKA Lorenzo not being at Honda and Nakagami taking that seat at Honda with Marc Marquez, as far as they were talking about earlier with a Japanese rider on a Japanese bike getting a podium. Getting a win. I mean, is he...
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
Too soon, maybe?
Not even that it's too soon. I mean, Nakagami's... He has been around.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, sure. Optics, Japanese rider, Japanese bike.
Sure.
Win in Motegi. Okay, yeah, whatever. Sounds great. But it's like, I don't see him as the future for Honda. I think they're going to bring up somebody else. I think they're going to stick with Lorenzo. I think they saw what happened with Ducati, how he kind of struggled with Ducati, and then it was just like this one thing, got it figured out. And I just think that they're going to continue working with Lorenzo until they just figure out what it is he's missing.
Yeah, whatever scratches that itch of his.
Yeah. Because he's totally capable. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This weekend was like no excuses. I mean, and he still didn't perform, and no idea why.
Yeah, there's no more injury talk with Lorenzo. There's no, I mean, he finished 13th in this race. A lot of people, even on Reddit, we were looking at earlier, like everybody's like, oh, Lorenzo. I'm like, probably not. No, maybe on Ducati, but not with a new team, not this year, not coming off an injury, not feeling the way he's feeling. this weekend. And no sign of a cold or a flu with Lorenzo either, but just standard.
But the thing is like next race, he could literally turn it all around and like, and get a win. Like,
yeah,
it's for sure.
But that's not the, consistency wins championships, I feel like, right? So like you could win without, well, you have to win a couple of races, but you could win just by being on the podium, right? You got to be on the top. You got to be in the conversation. Like these guys, like Rins, like he's making a name for himself this year, just being up there, being consistent, sticking with the top five. But
yeah, really, so it wasn't until this time last year with Lorenzo on a Ducati that he started winning, right? Like this was his kind of like breakout race, and he started winning. And then he was in that conversation of like, oh my God, is he going to be able to come back and, you know, and obviously didn't turn out that way, but, you know, there's still a lot of races left and it's a long season. I don't really think he's going to perform this year, but.
I do want to talk about, Francesco or Pecco Bagnaia. Him and Jack Miller both ended up, DNFs, not classified in this race, but that team, that Pramac team, they've obviously bred some great racers before, and I feel like they have two excellent riders currently, especially in Bagnaia. Like, as a rookie this year, he is blowing my mind, like, every weekend. Not so much during qualifying, but during the race, as far as his composure and being able to make his way up the front. So, how do you feel about Pecco Bagnaia?
Yeah, I mean, strong, definitely one of the strongest rookies this year. I think he's performing well. I think he does have a future for sure with Ducati if he starts to get stuff figured out. This thing, I think really the, you know, we do see these rookies, some of these rookies like just kill it, right? And those are really outliers. I think the teams don't really have that expectation. They realize that this is a, that to ride these bikes is such a skill, and it takes development, and it takes a lot of crashing. It takes a lot of mistakes being made to learn. I mean, that's all you can really expect from people. We all love to see these aliens, right, who just come out of nowhere and just have it down, and you know, but that's just not the norm. So, he's definitely strong. I mean, I think it's good. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, he's been very impressive thus far, especially in today's race where he made a double pass in one corner. And I don't know if it was the strength of the Ducati bike or just, you know, him lining up and setting forward on his race strategy. But, yeah, I think that the Pramac team is a little shaky at times because you have, like you said, Jack Miller, who he likes to push hard and early and fast. And he kind of puts a toll on the bike and on those tires. And we've not yet seen him. He's got a couple fourth places this year. We know he's in the conversation. Like, Miller's not. He's there. He has to be recognized, and he's strong. He's on good form this year. But he's, yeah, he just needs to put it all together to have a good race week. And I feel the same way with Bagnaia. Like Pecco's been doing a really good job in practice through qualifying, but it hasn't translated on race day for those two riders on that team for me. Not yet. At least. So hopefully we can see a better result from them in the future, because two exciting riders though, I think, for that team. That team's in a good place right now. The same as the Petronas Yamaha. We talked about Quartararo and how he's super fast in qualifying and during practice, but putting it together on race day is a big deal. And so far Morbidelli has been doing a better job than Quartararo has as far as consistency is concerned. And yeah, just looking forward, I feel like those are the two best independent teams, minus Cal, you know, by himself on the LCR Honda. So,
yeah, no doubt. All right, so yeah, looking forward to 2 weekends from now. The 16th will be in Catalonia, and yeah, what about F1, Josh? What are we looking for there?
Oh, we're looking at Montreal. That's the next, the Canadian Grand Prix, the next one. A pretty decent circuit we saw in Monaco, if you listen to last week's episode. A lot of drama there. Not a lot of overtakes, but definitely some drama that happened in Monaco. Mercedes looked vulnerable for the first time. We'll see what Ferrari can do as far as the power is concerned. And yeah, I think F1 is a, it's a wild card for the Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal. So I don't know. Hopefully we can see a good fight between the top six drivers. Pierre Gasly, honestly, probably won't be in there. So we'll say the top five between Max, Verstappen, and Leclerc, Vettel, and then Bottas and Hamilton. So yeah, it'll be a good, a pretty interesting race weekend, and hopefully a good race for F1.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully we see Ferrari get their shit together and start fighting for something. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's what we all want to see: some red at the top.
Yep. 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 All and right. Vettel, there's some random drama too. We could wrap it up, but Vettel saying he's going to retire this year. That's a big thing. Nico Hülkenberg looking at going to Red Bull. Apparently Red Bull's having talks with ditching Gasly and picking up Hülkenberg from Renault, which I don't know why they would do that when they have Alexander Albon, but these are conversations for another podcast. So we keep those on deck.
Cool, man. Well, hey, as always, thank you for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please do all the normal stuff you do, like, subscribe. Send us an email, ask us some questions. We will try to get to that and conversate with that. So until next weekend, Josh, cheers.
Cheers, man.